venue for freewheeling discourse was the Monday morning executive team gathering, which started at 9 and went for 3 or 4 hours. The focus was always on the future. What should each product do next? What new things should be developed? Jobs used the meeting to enforce a sense of shared mission at Apple. This served to centralize control, which made the company seem as tightly integrated as a good Apple product, and prevented the struggles between divisions that plagued decentralized companies. Jobs also used the meetings to enforce focus. At Robert Friedland's farm, his job had been to prune the apple trees so that they would stay strong, and that became a metaphor for his pruning at Apple. Instead of encouraging each group to let product lines proliferate based on marketing considerations, or permitting 1,000 ideas to bloom, Jobs insisted that Apple focus on just 2 or 3 priorities at a time. There is no one better at turning off the noise that is going on around him, Cook said. That allows him to focus on a few things and say no to many things. Few people are really good at that. In order to institutionalize the lessons that he and his team were learning, Jobs started an in-house center called Apple University. He hired Joel Podalny, who was dean of the Yale School of Management, to compile a series of case studies analyzing important decisions the company had made, including the switch to the Intel microprocessor and the decision to open the Apple stores. Top executives spent time teaching the cases to new employees so that the Apple style of decision-making would be embedded in the culture.